Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, it's Fat Mascara.
Welcome. I'm Jen.
I'm Jess, and we are about to introduce the amazing Kat Marnell. Jen and I know Kat Marnell from, you know, just our days in beauty. We were all coming up at the same time in magazines where we were all kind of baby junior beauty editors. Kat went on to write an amazing book. Jen and I stayed in magazines a little while longer.
Now we get to reconnect with her. Yeah. Jess and I talk about our baby beauty editor days, Kat was there for them. It was like, you know, you knew everybody at every magazine who had the same level position as you, and you would see them at different events. And so that's how we know her. Kat is the author of the books Self-Tanner for the Soul and the New York Times bestseller, How to Murder Your Life. She's also written for Nylon Self Glamour, served as a beauty editor at Lucky Magazine. I think that's where I met her, if I remember correctly. And she's had columns for Vice and XO Jane, where she wrote candidly about her drug addiction, a topic she delves into in her memoir, How to Murder Your Life. But as you'll hear from Kat herself in this interview, which is so great, she's in a good place now, mentally, physically, and she's feeling ready to re-engage with the beauty world. So we wanted to talk to Kat about beauty and obviously her writing and the products that she loves. But we ended up having like a nostalgic look back at the magazine world of the mid-aughts and teens and just chatting about her life journey, which, by the way, heads up, if this could be triggering for you, this does include topics related to addiction and some of the beauty issues caused by addiction. Kat's very upfront about that. So if you have not read Kat's work, do yourself a favor, buy her books, and subscribe to her column. She has her own column now. It's called Beauty Shambles. She launched that in 2020 and posts regularly, and you can read and support it on Patreon. I'll put a link to that on the blog. And now let's catch up with Kat.
Okay, Kat, thank you so much for coming on Fat Mascara.
Well, it's been a long time coming, and And I'm honored and thrilled to be talking to some beauty editors today.
When's the last time you were surrounded? Well, I mean, there's only two of us, but when's the last time you were like, you were in like a beauty editor chat?
I saw Jean Godfrey June in Mexico, but that's more of a, it was just random that she walked out of this restaurant in Mexico City and I was like, Jean? And I was sitting there, but that doesn't really count. But we cried, you know, that was my former boss at Lucky, of course, who's now at Goop. Perfect fit, I believe.
It's the perfect
fit. Yeah. It's the perfect fit. I mean, it's so funny. But no, I haven't been around beauty editors in so long. That's all I wanted.
It's good to see you. Oh my God, how many years has it been?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
You said that's all you ever wanted. I mean, did you seek out a career in beauty or did you stumble into it? It sounds like it was...
It was more than magazines, for sure. Like, I've never been... I mean, we all love beauty products, but... It's just strange because if you read my book, you know, those Beauty Queen magazines, I used to make them, and I would staple them. And it was not like, there were some beauty products in it that I drew, but I would mainly draw like women, like make up their names. It was just, it was so similar to the Real Girl stuff that was then in Lucky that I would look at it and just be like, this is so crazy. I was just obsessed with magazines. I've always played magazine games. And then when I hit puberty, you know, like, any home video that you have of me is like at 12 and I'm like flipping through W and like not talking to people at my house, you know, I've just always been magazine obsessed and have my, and then when I, my first internship was Vanity Fair, the fashion closet, and fashion is, I'm just not that brain. I've always had weird clothes and I'm just like straight, you know, my fashion friends make fun of me, but beauty was a thing for the writers really, because everyone gets the same beauty products and it was just sort of about framing them. And so my first beauty internship, I just fell into with Charlotte Rudge at Nylon, who had been Jean Godfrey June's assistant. And Nylon at that time, this was like a couple years after 9/11, I guess, 2005, maybe 2004. Like that was the cool magazine that people who were taking a break from trying to work at Hearst or Condé worked at, you know, they would leave their assistant job at like, this is before Teen Vogue had even launched. I mean, it's around that time, but so there was this office downtown and that was one of the good jobs. And I met so many people in my life through partying, including the editor-in-chief's assistant at that time, Heather Catania. And she got me this internship. And it was the first time I ever opened the bags and saw the swag and the product. Oh God. And the staple scratches when you're a beauty intern, your arm, your hand gets scratched. Like you
I
have
a, oh my God, that one.
Remember?
Yes.
Brutal. Everything came in a mess from the little from the bike messengers in these little bags. It was always the same bag with like two staples and then scotch tape on the top.
Were so like the more higher quality bags had like 19 staples.
Yes.
And that's the ones where you'd really get messed up. It was like an Aqua department bag or something.
Oh my
like
God. The endless bags. And then
Kat, I just want to rewind a little bit. Like what do you think drew you to be in magazines? Like, what was it?
In my brain, they're just my thing. They're not too deep. They're equal parts writing and visual, fashion photography, the mastheads, the editor-in-chiefs, everything. I'm a media person. Like, I have media in my bones and my blood. I don't come from any kind of family that has any interest in that. It just is what I know I meant to do. Even when I was like in junior high, I made a zine, you know, like I always was making things. I loved cutting up magazines. I still do that when I hang out with children, especially like little girls. Like I bring a fashion magazine and I flip through it with them. I'm always trying to stage mom any young women in my life, because even like art catalogs, contemporary art is something that I love. And I taught myself about that from like Sotheby's catalogs and going to the Strand every day after work. I like paper. I don't know. It's just who I am. I'm actually staring at this wall of magazines. I have an entire storage unit full of magazines, like a very expensive storage unit. It's totally empty because I pull all the furniture out and I haven't taken, but it's the magazines fall on me every time I open it. I mean, I'm trying to make the tallest stack of magazines in the world.
So so you worked at Nylon, you fell in love with the, you know, the beauty department. You're working with Charlotte, who was the beauty editor at the time at Nylon. And
then I got into that game, like the next internship, the next one. I'd been at Vanity Fair and the fashion closet. So that was my first taste of Condé Nast. That was when I was 20, just doing the garment racks and stuff. So then Nylon. And then when Nylon was over, and I was getting college credit for this, by the way, I was at Eugene Lang, that I was like, where do I go next? And I went to Teen Vogue, which had just launched and was peak Teen Vogue. Amy Astley's the editor-in-chief, Anna Wintour's on the floor, like overseeing everything. Everyone there was in, at the time it was like, you know, Mark by Mark, Mary Jane's, you know, it was very white. It was very quiet because everyone was scared and like DMing each other. And it was my first real fashion magazine. And also being back in the Condé building. And then after that,
did you feel at home?
I was scared to death of Teen Vogue. Like, and I was,
did you feel like an outsider or did you feel like, oh, like my ship has come in, like it's time?
I got a Condé Nast email address for that one. So just by being an intern, so that was my big moment. And I mean, I definitely felt I was at home. I was determined not to leave that building, you know, and I didn't. I would do anything to stay at Condé because it was just such an unbelievably elevated situation. And I just loved the work. I never wanted to leave at night. Like, and I was so good at it. I'm actually really good at being bossed around. It's like when I'm left to my own devices is when I wouldn't do as well, especially like in an organized way. But being told what to do is like, I was an amazing intern, amazing assistant, and super ambitious. And just like, I never, ever would have said no to anything. Like, I always look, when I look at The Devil Wears Prada, like, I am not the Andrea person. I am Emily Blunt.
Emily.
I'm like, how could you ever think? Like, you know, I was defending that Condé Nast internship program to the grave. Now I get it. But it does make people with privilege advance them further. But back then I was just like, take any internship, do anything. And I loved it. I loved it. And then after that I got Glamour, but I was stuck at Glamour 2 years.
You say stuck at Glamour?
Sort of. With Felicia Malevich. Yeah. Awesome. And Mary McLean, who I worked with directly. But it was a weird situation because I was there 2 years and 1 year was just the freelancer for $10 an hour. But again, and this is when I'm interviewing for assistant
I was so
jobs.
Jealous when I heard people were making $10 an hour. I just got to say, when I heard people were making $10 an hour, I was like, how do I find, I got to get that job.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. I mean, that Glamour was hard. I worked so hard. They would do crazy.
The girls at Glamour worked very hard. Yeah. You worked, you know, you're naming Teen Vogue at, you know, the ground floor at Teen Vogue when it was, you know, like classic Teen Vogue. You're naming Glamour, which is really one of the harder places to work at Condé, certainly in beauty. I mean, they had a really top team. And Felicia is like a beauty legend for anyone who's listening. And you worked at Lucky for Jean Godfrey June, who is still a major force in beauty. Like, you really came up through Condé. And like, how do you look back at that time? Like, what? How's your? Condé is definitely a different company than it was when you worked there. How do you look? What is your reflection now?
I look back with such love, obsession with that time. Like, I can't even. I get emotional just even talking about it because it was just so wonderful, and it was such an amazing place to be. Even though, yes, it was very abusive behavior. Again, I'm like quite. I take quite naturally. Abusive behavior. And also I was good at it because when it's what you're meant to do, you're just like, you're on it. Nobody cared more than I did. And also this whole thing, the Glamour to Lucky transition, that was the big period that was very, very hard for me. What people maybe, I don't know if it's the same way, that assistant job where you go from not being, so I was never on staff in the Glamour 2 years, but I wasn't on the masthead. You know, things like, but again, if my name had been on the masthead, if I had been allowed to write a word in Glamour magazine I was like 23, 24, even just one sentence, it would have been the most happy, ecstatic day of my life. And I got none of those things, you know, but it's like all I wanted was to get on staff somewhere. And it was hard. I came just so close so many times. Like, I was in the top two W to assist Jane Larkworthy, and that didn't work, but I was interviewed like so many times. And by the way, these interviews, you go to first, you know, you're vetted, and I forget, and then it gets to the director, and then sometimes the editor, and like to buy these outfits and like go to Bloomingdale's and buy the Marnie skirts and then return them and take the tags off. Like I spent so much money and so much time, the manicures and the blowouts for every interview, edit tests, just getting there.
Do you look back and think that's fucked up though at all?
No.
Like the fact that you had to go buy a bunch of.
No, I get it. Because you loved what they were putting out. But when you hear the current discussions about, like, you know, workplace rights and being more inclusive in the workplace and not abusing the people that work for you, do you ever second guess your upbringing in this industry?
I know. No, listen.
And if you don't, that's okay.
I get very angry about a lot of shit. These glamour industries are crazy. I don't like the materialism, but...
Like, what do you think of now when you look around at how it's changed?
I'm glad that there's been change. I think some of the changes of the actual print publications, can I be frank, are not the best. If you have Glamour Magazine, the best possible title that you could ever own for a magazine, and then you, and that bubblegum in italics, that logo, like, you know, with the big capital letters, remember, have they still changed the logo to be like black and thin, like wrought iron furniture? Like, I was looking at it and I was like, no, like they took all the glamour out. Like, that's not the solution. Like, that's not more feminist, more woke, or let there just be too heavy handed with the diversity instead of just putting like hot people of color are just like being cool. It just is a little, it's fine. It's kind of like, okay, boomers. I'm not in on the hiring process, of course. I hope that things have changed and things have to be this annoying. People have to be beaten over the head with it in order for actual progress to take place. I'm sure.
No, they certainly have changed. And a big change, I think, in the landscape is too where the influence is coming from, specifically with beauty. Like, when you were at those magazines, people look to those magazines for beauty knowledge, for what was cool, for what was on trend. It's not where people always look anymore. They look to YouTube. They look online. They're looking at TikTok videos. What do you think when you look at the beauty landscape now? Like, where do you think the thought is coming from? Where do you think the trends are coming from? And what do you think of who the influencers are now?
I like anything that is about what actually works. And what was always unique about Lucky Magazine was that it was real people giving. So Lucky Magazine, before it folded, of course, it had specific things. It was real people like Chrissy Miller, who was the designer for Sophomore at the time. It's just a fucking odd. I would bring her in and have her do the four things that she liked. She was just a cool downtown girl, you know, and that would be in the actual print magazine. That's much more accessible. What I never liked about magazines was just like when they would slice 10 lipsticks and put them out in the art, and then the photo department would lay it out on a page and it would be like, buy this, 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 and this, just encouraging people to buy and buy and buy. I like it when it's more specific and real people are telling you, this is what I actually like. That's always been more appealing. And so in that way, but of course, everything is, it's the overflow of information no matter where you go, because now it's too much. Like, who's the best person at TikTok? Now I'm like, this is too many things that are good. Like, oh, if you dip this hairbrush in olive oil, like, and then put it in the microwave. Like, I'm like, what? Like, you know, so now maybe people will go back to the trusted things. I will say that beauty editors are real. And I know this now because in terms of like, because you see every single product, you do actually do know what's good. But it's just in terms of what's been put on the page. I know Jean really had integrity with that. Like, she didn't put things in that we didn't actually like. But it's hard to know who to trust. You have to try. Like, this, I take people's money seriously. I write a column now on Patreon. I only put one product in then. And actually, I don't get products in it anymore. And so, which I need to change. Like, I need to call fucking Alison Broad or just like, please. Because I don't try things anymore. But I used to really find just like the most incredible things and be like, this is the thing. Like, I've tried every single eyeliner. This is the one.
We're going to ask you which ones are the ones at the end. So I think people might be scared to send you stuff because you actually say what you think.
I am not. Have you, in case you can't tell, I am like, I have drank the Kool-Aid, as I said, so much. I will not talk shit about a product. I have always tried to promote the industry. Even in my book, it was never going to be some expose. And I didn't even know that till I was writing it. I was taught to not say negative things. I write about people like their beauty products. I give everyone a nice sheen, you know. And it's like, that's, I have a very magazine mind. And so I would never say a bad thing. It's just not how I was raised professionally about products. You just, I mean, negative attraction in general is bad news.
You know, you wrote for Exo Jane, which was like a huge moment for you before the book. You got a lot of feedback and a lot of attention when you were working there.
Which piece of content of yours, oh God, I hate the word content, but I've just got to use it in this way. Like, which piece of yours has gotten the most feedback?
I preface this really quick and say, Exo Jane was something I did after I was put on disability and ultimately had to leave Condé Nast. I was still in that Condé headspace where I was like, no print. I mean, on print only. I was ashamed to go to a website. And I didn't. Right. And Exo Jane was, to me, I wanted it to be like an online magazine. It turned into a very warts and all place, which I would lash at. Of course, I'm super grateful for it now. But I was really rebelling at that time against that. And so, but of course, like what wound up taking off for me is the personal stuff, writing about addiction, things that now I don't reread, I don't like, because I don't have, addiction is not part of my life, although I'll always be happy to identify as an addict. The Whitney Houston piece I wrote about the death of Whitney Houston was a big moment for me. But the pieces that I like the most, I learned, so Jean Godfrey June, my teacher, editor, and hero, would write about her life and her column that she started at Elle back in the day, the beauty closet, then took the Lucky. And she would write about her life and then slip a beauty product in the end. And so it's anything. She'd be like, I was at the opera, this and that. Or I was like, with, you know, and then her like amazing way, her reverence, and which I rip off. Like people, anyone who likes my writing, everyone should know I got it from Jean. She taught me everything. She's the one who taught me to write, sat with me in a blue pen, fucking tear it up. But then at the end, you put it in, then she's like, and then I pulled out this lip gloss and this and that. And that is how, when I would go on to write my columns at Exo Jane, I did it, except my things, because it was online, what I got to do was use personal photos, like that I took on BlackBerry or whatever, you know, it was 10 years ago. I would be in Miami and I would be at the club and I'd be at Art Basel and things and that. And then I'd be like, oh, and I, while I was in these places, I put on this, you know, J-Lo Miami glow. And I, you know, and so that was really fun. And when I'm so happy that I did those, and those are still the kind of columns that I write now on Patreon, because I've actually never been that comfortable focusing on myself. And it's funny that now my career is in this place. I've always been focused on the external. I never wanted to be the person in the photo shoot. Like my dream was to get to an editor level where I would be the creative person behind the scenes, like telling the models what to do. I'm an introvert in a very public career. And anyway, that's my long answer. I'm so sorry. I go off.
No, it's interesting. Tangents. Like, how do you like with the, when you came out with the book, like, you know, so, yeah, you were a writer, you were not trying to be famous. And obviously when you came out with your book, you know, it was a New York Times bestseller, and suddenly like you know, you went into it obviously knowing that you're writing a book. You weren't writing a book for it to not sell copies, right. But then you became like a famous person. Like how did you handle that?
Yeah.
When I say famous person, like, yeah, you're not like you are.
I'm much more famous in New York than other places, but it's actually amazing. I hang out in certain trendy neighborhoods.
You're like a public, you're a public figure.
I know who's going to recognize me. They're 26, they're blonde, and they have a lot of eyeliner on. Everyone's like, are you Cameron? I'm like, hi.
What do you say to them? Like, do they want like pictures with you?
People want to do that, but they also know me by now.
Okay.
So
how'd you handle that?
You know, my media savvy, and again, I'm a media brain, like really is what I think made my career successful, despite my obvious handicaps. My Adderall addiction was just horrible. Like I was crazy. But all of those years in not just working in magazines and in the media world, but learning about it. You know, I would read Gawker every day since it launched. Like whenever Gawker, I was a day one person when Elizabeth Spires, I know about media. I know what to do. I know who to work with. I know what to say. I know. And so I would have one foot in that world and one foot in my own kind of crazy life or my work, I mean, my personal life, but I always knew, like I could be the celebrity on one side of it, but then also be working. Like I knew all the people who were going to review my book and in advance, you know, just like, I know who to work with. I know who to talk to with the Observer. Now I know who to talk to with the Cut. I save my editorial photographs, like for when I'm promoting something, you know, like I don't put myself out there too much. You guys know, you've been asking me to do this for a couple of years. Like I take my time, I protect myself, you know, like I'm in Page Six because I don't go to Page Six and ask for anything. Like I let them come to me. And also I've really earned my place at this point because I showed my work, I published that book, and I really just try to get attention really when I need to in a professional way. You know, like you promote your projects and I think people respect me because I have been in this industry and in media for so long. But that's what I care about. And I take it seriously and I respect people's money. Books for like $30, dude. I've put that Noosa Davidson-Harris down like twice. I'm like, $28. I'm like, wait, like you can pay that. But it just seems like a lot. And I'm always like, I'm so grateful to anyone who ever bought my book.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honey Love's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honey Love products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honey Love is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Aloe Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Aloe Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right? That's about it.
Yeah. that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Aloe Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Aloe Moves. Go to aloemoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's aloemoves.com, code MASCARA20. aloemoves.com, code MASCARA20. Well, honestly, like, we just wanted to talk to you because you have such an interesting story in beauty, and that's just the real here. You know, I also want to ask you, like, you know, you mentioned products. You speak about products very thoughtfully and carefully. You're definitely not like trying to dine out on like a ton of you, and you could, like, you know, Instagram ads, and I'm working with this company and this company. Like, everything that you mentioned feels really personal to you and like very selective. What products have felt really personal? Which product has felt the most personal to you over the years?
Let me tell you, I have a theory. The only two things you really need in this life, sunscreen and retin-A. And I don't know how personal that is, but I can tell you
not in that order.
This, and you need both of them just as much as the other. I'm talking for face, like SPF 50 and retin-A. And I know that doesn't sound personal, but I've had some very humbling years in the past few years. Like, I left New York. I lived abroad. I literally, like, would go out dressed like a boy, just, like, no makeup on, this and that. And I just would travel with those two things. And I would use, like, bar soap. I would wash my face. I would stay in, like, youth hostels. I washed my face, like, dishwash and detergent. I just needed a break from all the glamour. Like, I was just, like, for years I did this. Very strange, but like it was this radical, and I had gone through like a disfiguring event, which was good because Adderall did that to me. And it was, you know, it's been around with my hair and the wigs and blah, 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 which I don't want to go into, but that shit was horrible. Very, very embarrassed, humiliating and painful. I don't get upset about it anymore. I have to like have a great sense of humor. But I do credit it with turning my life around. It was the last thing that I was like, okay, I can't take Adderall anymore. Like, I can't.
The way it made you look really, like, woke you
that
up.
That shit fucked up. That's like, that's what did everything bad to me ever. It was so bad. It made me so insane. And it's like, people stay on it because they think, like, it's going to keep them thin or this and that. I'm telling you, it all catches up with you and it's going to fuck you over. All of those drugs and alcohol. I barely drink. If I drink like two glasses of wine, I'm like drunk, like tweeting, like I'm going drunk. Like I barely drink. Like, but that shit fucks you up. And you know, look at, you've never seen an Artie Lang from the Howard Stern show and his nose got caved in. That shit is the closest thing that I've ever seen to someone that I could identify with. Like, it's hard to describe what I did. I don't want to go in. Again, I have another book in me about myself. So that's going to be in there. I'm just saving it because it's hard now. It's hard for me to like be on Reddit or to get a Google alert. And it's like someone talking about my hair or this and they're like, what happened? Like I zoomed in on a picture and I saw it. I'm like, yeah, like I get, you know, it's horrible, but it's not hard. I mean, humility.
No, owning what happened gives you a certain power over it. And I get that. So this period you're talking about where you sort of backed off, you're just using sunscreen and retinol, not doing the glamour thing. This was after you published your book, after you came to terms with what happened with your drug addiction, but you still felt like yourself and your skin. Is that why those products were like there for you? Or are you still a beauty girl deep inside? What was going on?
I got stripped down to the basics about myself. I used, you know, when I first went away to a rehab, I've been to two rehabs in Thailand, both with the same counselor who's just like a fantastic addiction specialist. And he told me once, he's like, you know, Kat, like, you're never going to cure your addiction until you, because I used to be at this rehab stressing out. I'd be platinum blonde. My roots would grow in and he would see me start wanting to leave the rehab. Because I would have
just to get your hair done.
And I would be like, because it would be like platinum. I was white platinum at that time with just like, and then the black stripe would come in because I have dark hair. And I would just start going crazy, or like my eyebrows, things like that. And he would just see me. And also, you know, I've always had like an eating disorder. I've been bulimic most for a long time. And by the way, I say that again, is when I identify as these things, 95% of that is resisting that behavior and identify, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm doing that all the time. I don't want to say that. But just all of these things interconnected, beauty and addiction, drugs, especially these things that make you thin. And he's like, until you just have brown hair, don't wear makeup, you know, you're never, you need to just learn how to be yourself and relax. And I was like, that's just not who I am. But of course, like he was actually right, because the years that I spent in very humbling circumstances, I'm not trying to be so like, again, traveling is a privilege. Okay. So when I'm hard on other people now about materialism and, you know, I understand I was like the white person in El Salvador, seeing how real people live. Like, you know, you come back and you're like, beauty isn't as important. But no, other people haven't been to 70 countries in 3 years. Like I got to just fucking roam around. But that being said, my real product, all you really need is a little eyeliner, black eyeshadow, dark smoky eyes are my thing. And I'll always have it for eight. It's like, I love how Corinne Reutfeldt just puts on more and more eyeshadow, as opposed to, I've never liked trying to look younger.
Yeah. After you pared back, you now, it seems to be that you're embracing glamour again. You've got an eyeliner on, your hair is blonde. Do you feel a different relationship with beauty since you pulled back completely from it, got real with yourself without any of those trappings, and now they're back? Is that because you feel more comfortable with them, or you needed them again?
Now that I'm very healthy, and I just wish, by the way, I could use the word sober, because I think that people think in this black and white way about me, which is very much how we're taught to think about addicts. And I wish, because I'm so close to what that would be, that people could just say that I'm like,
let's just say healthy place.
I'm so healthy. And I wish I could come so close to actually, like, honestly being able to claim that. I take care of myself, and what I really rely on, eyebrow tinting, which I don't have right now, but eyebrow threading and tinting is one of my favorite things of all time. And it's made makeup much less important. I go to this woman in the garment district. She used to be at Hibba Soho, this Indian woman.
I remember Hibba.
Yeah. And she left Hibba, and her name is Neelam. And she dyes my, I love eyebrow dyeing. I've always done that, because I remember being at Anastasia Beverly Hills when I was like 18 years old and getting it done for the first time. It just changes your face. People shouldn't be scared of it. And it gives you that, I don't have it right now, but it gives you that, forgive me, Kim Kardashian eyebrow that's really like exotic. And the, you know, they dye the skin to make
sharp
whatever
edges.
Shape you want. It doesn't even matter what's under there.
Yeah.
I taught myself how to do false eyelashes, and I don't care. I mean, I do the little ones, but then I don't care. I show up at things and I'm like, my eyelashes are falling off, because I do them myself. I do my makeup. So I need more shit. I love face. I used to just, when I would write, I would put on face mask after face mask. Like, if I'm going to be sitting here, I want to be better looking when I'm done writing. I need to call this stuff.
It's like incentive to write.
Yeah.
That really is like, okay, if I'm going to write, like, I'm doing like 3 face masks.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I just.
Which face mask did you love?
See, I've just been buying them with the, back in the day, geez, the enzyme, that expensive Tata Harbor, anything with fruit enzymes, like I used to love the Elemis, the pineapple enzyme. Anything with enzymes is so good. I don't have any of them. And then, but the other big thing that I use is vitamin C serum. But again, I have to buy it myself now, or I do. I should just call. I don't know who does the SkinCeuticals. Is it still Abrams?
Well, let's talk about though. If you have to buy it yourself, most people do. I mean, Jess and I are not at magazines anymore. We buy a lot of beauty products now that we didn't used to.
Buy the SkinCeuticals.
Did that change your?
Yes, that did, because I was
okay.
Like,
so
this
you
is
still
just
pay
I
money
need.
On that?
I will.
Okay.
Serums I love, so I just buy the. Skin, the Dermadoc, the Kaduku C, do you know what that is? She's good. And I use La Roche-Posay, which is SPF 50 sunscreen. I use generic Retin-A that I get doctor in Maryland. and then for my foundation, I go back to like Bobbi Brown and stuff. And then I like the Charlotte Tilbury.
The things you came up on.
Everything I love got discontinued.
I mean, that happens.
What's your Charlotte product and your Bobbi product?
I mean, it's just, I get the old school foundations like in the glass bottles. And then with Charlotte, no, if this is so bad, I'm trying to think. My ones that I love, I use, you know, I like lip liner. I like the Wet n Wild 666 lip liner. I still buy those. Like they're
so cheap and cheerful.
Yeah.
And what eyeliners do you like? Because you always have a great eyeliner and great eyeshadow situation.
Do you know Prestige Cosmetics? You can only order that. And you can't even find it in the drugstores anymore. For drugstore eyeshadow, the e.l.f., they're quads. There's one that's like a shimmery mushroom quad. I always have that. I have multiple ones of those. I mean, there's these cheap products, the packaging breaks. And you're like, God damn it. Like the hinges fall off. I do like cheap eyeshadow.
Oh my God, totally.
Like I have all the Tom Ford compacts and stuff, but I don't use them as much. I keep going back. You know, I can do my makeup so fast. It's just about confidence and knowing your own face. And I just started doing my own makeup because when I was doing so much press for the book and stuff, I would get it done. I was always getting these makeup artists in and I realized I never liked how I look. And it was because they just don't know what to do. It's a lot of tricks. You elongate. I've just learned what I like to do, but I do need more stuff because even my shakiness with product wrecks.
Yeah. Do you think you feel more comfortable? I mean, you're 39 right now.
40 in September.
Happy almost birthday. Do you think your relationship with your face has changed? Like you look in the mirror, do you feel more comfortable with what you see even without the makeup on?
Yeah. I actually just posted a picture of myself with no makeup on this year. I was like, it was crazy. I had lipstick on, but I had no lashes because I've been doing false lashes so much that I actually ripped out my eyelashes. But yeah, when I was young, I was so scared. I remember like the lights would come up at a club and, you know, you're like 24. I'm sure I was perfect. You know, I was like, gorgeous, but I was like, oh God, like people are going to see the real me. But I think just as I take care of myself, like I sleep, sleeping is so important. And I have,
like, what's your wellness regimen?
I sleep a lot and I have that privilege, the privilege of no partner, no children, no dog, nothing. Like when I go like stay at other people's houses, I'm like exhausted. Like, how do these people do it? Because
get me out of here.
I know. I mean, but it's, you know, I sleep as much and I don't even like sleeping, but I let myself do it as long as I want. So I always try to, I get at least 7 hours and I work out every single day. I love working out. I love running. I love Pilates. I love yoga. I love lifting weights. I do the Cindy Crawford workout. You know, this is
from like 1992.
There's two of them. That's a hard workout with Radu.
Oh my God.
So I do that for my weights and it's like, and leg swinging. I work out with a lot of bands, gliders. Kit Rich, who is Jennifer Lawrence's trainer. She has a lot of stuff on YouTube. I've always done home workouts the Limit Fit is another one I'm into.
The Limit Fit?
Yeah. It's like dance. It's really smart. It's hard. It's good. It's really good.
I'm tired.
God bless Kat.
I love, well, it's the exercise. If I do that, I show up glowing. And then you look good. I always tell people that's my main secret and people don't want to hear it.
Isn't that a bitch? That's always true what people say.
I have no idea how I look with that exercise.
You do look good. I mean, you have muscle tone. Like you look good. You're like tan. You look happy. And you've been like, you've been out on the scene. I follow you on Instagram. You seem to be hanging out with a pretty like, you know, cool like group.
Yeah, I do.
You're out with Leah McSweeney.
I love Leah.
Who I'm obsessed with her on Real Housewives. I don't think she's returning. I don't know. Maybe you do. And you were recently on Julia Fox's podcast. You've been out with her. Is this your group?
You know, Leah and Julia and I all know each other from the same group, which is like graffiti writers. Uh-huh. Like someone like Julia Fox came up through graffiti writers. The younger generation were like kind of like the kid brothers of my friends. And I've actually been hanging out with these people since I was a teenager. And Leah, you know, Rob, who's her daughter's father, founded A-Life and, you know, streetwear brand. So it's all from the same scene. And when you're kind of downtown, you just know everybody. And these are all people that I have known. Like the first magazine internship I got at Vanity Fair was from like a graffiti writer got it for me, like who was friends with the fashion director's daughter. So
right.
It just is my weird life that I happen to have this other side that I know all these people. But I'd say Leah and I are the same age. We're supposed to have a joint 40th birthday party, but I know because we had our 30th together, but I think now she's going to be in Europe. And we have a great relationship. And Julia Fox and I have a very sweet relationship. She's younger, but we're all sort of the same level of friend. Everyone, I hang out with a lot of younger people. I hang out with a lot of older people. And someone like Julia Fox used to be like on my floor. Like, but during the Exo Jane days, she would come over with her little girl group and, you know, hard drugs back then for all of us, you know, which is not a secret, Julia, but you know, heroin, all of us. I mean, like we were crazy. We were angel dust, lots of angel dust, which sounds like a beauty product, but all of that stuff.
I mean, I feel like that was an Urban Decay body powder.
No, it, trust me. And then Rachel Rabbit White is another friend of mine who's really making a name for herself right now. And she's a sex bot and very amazing with the beauty stuff. You ever want someone who would talk about beauty products much better than me, Rachel is the queen. So she's launching a Patreon this week. So I'm going to support her. But yeah. So I'm cool people. I love, my life is so nice. The big difference in my group, no one's going to treat you like an ATM. We probably should come out with some products. Like, it's amazing to be popular and be considered cool.
What do you mean nobody's going to treat you like an ATM? Have you gotten treated like an ATM?
No, I'm saying sometimes I look at these other like people like the Kardashians and I'm like, geez Louise. Like, they really just like the pushing the products on people. Like, they just want the money so much from people. It's like,
I see.
Crazy.
Yeah. But what about like, I mean, you're a very creative person and you talked about like, you know, you think like a media person, you love media. I'm not suggesting that like you launch a print magazine tomorrow, but like you seem to want to create. I don't know. I'm just getting this impression that you want to do something. Yeah. And I know you have your Patreon. You're obviously quite well connected. You know, Julia Fox and Leah are like your buddies. You've got a lot of good buddies. Like, what's next? Like, do you want to create a product? Do you want to create a media platform?
Yeah.
What's up?
What do you guys think I should book? Do? Well, the book I'm going to do, but I think
we can offline. I don't know.
The book, I have online. To do a book. I mean, that's just like.
Are you legally bound to do another book?
No, but I feel like I should because I did it well and people loved it and I have the content for it. So I have to shop it. I shopped a book that was a book proposal. See, I've already done this where I burned out for a second because that didn't sell. But I know, I understand. Like that was 2 years ago, and I wasn't in a good place. Thinking I'm much more tapped into the rest of the world now. I had like gone off the grid and wrote like a very strange book proposal that like I don't blame anyone for not buying. And I have this high powered agent who's like, "Kat, please like, just do a proposal," and I'm going to. But I do want to. Do something else. I just need to do it. But I do think pairing up with somebody is the way. I mean, how do you guys find that like, because you guys work together, like you do get it done, right?
It's funny. When you were saying about how I'm not as good when left to my own devices, I was thinking about it's really nice to have somebody to hold you accountable, even if they're your boss and they treat you like shit. Like clearly we were talking about earlier, Jess does not treat me like shit. But
I'm also not Jess. We're partners.
Sometimes if I'm like not in the mood to do something, I'm like, I can't let down Jess or the listeners. Like you're being held accountable. And there's something really powerful about that, that kind of like lights a fire to get it done. So yeah, use that if you need to. I don't know, sell a book proposal with a final date on it. So you're like, crap, now I got to do it by X date, you know?
I'm proud of myself. I mean, it's a pretty basic thing, but you know, for my Patreon, which I should talk about more, it's called Beauty Shambles. It's about the lure.
Yeah, we got to talk about Beauty Shambles. What do you talk about in Beauty Shambles? Products, and just your life?
Products, my life. And I always publish twice a month without fail. It's long form columns. They're like 1,000 words each. They're full of pictures. I always have a product at the end. And I write about everything. But
are you a Virgo?
Yes.
Because you said September. Okay, she's a Virgo. You get it done.
I get you done.
I'm a Virgo too.
The fucking Word document is my comfort zone. Like I will never have a problem getting that stuff done.
I think, I don't know. Listen, like I feel like you went through the Condé like boot camp boarding school. You went through like, you wrote a book. You're a New York Times bestselling author.
Yeah.
You've been through hell and back. You're a Virgo. You can do it.
Yeah.
You're a critical thinker.
Am I? No one's ever said that about me before. Right now, I'm trying to embrace the boredom because I just know this is where the healing for me is happening.
Let's reframe this. It's not boredom. You're in a stable, quiet, healthy place. Sometimes that could be seen as boredom or it could be seen as stability, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm super.
That was really good, Jen.
It's so good to see you. Like, just because, I mean, I followed your career. The book was amazing. I'm so glad you came on and hung with us. Wait, we can't let you go. We got to do a Fat Mascara 5.
Fat Mascara 5, cat, quick, painless, okay? It's really just like answer the first thing that comes to your mind. Light and fun. Light and fun. Ready?
Yeah.
What do you always splurge on?
Furniture and home stuff.
Oh, you went big. I thought you were going to be like organic fruit.
What's your biggest home purchase?
I have these lamps right now that each call. I mean, for me, that it looked like these like magic wands and they like shoot light at the ceiling. And I should have just gotten one, like $800. I got like three of those. Like I need one in like every room. Like they were from Design Within Reach and there's on my Instagram, you'll see them. They're like wizard sticks. I like my house with like Wall-E. Like I have a $4,000 pillow right here. It's a New York Post pillow.
What?
But it's art. It's art. It's by Andy Warhol's best friend. Pillow? I'll show it to you guys.
Yes, go get the $4,000 pillow.
Is it like a Gucci pillow?
I think she said Andy Warhol.
Oh.
It's a New York Post embroidery.
That's, cool. That's really cool.
It's the New York Post cover.
I spend all my money on my apartment and nothing on clothes. It's horrible. Okay, keep going.
Is that needlepoint?
Yeah.
Is he has a needlepoint New pillow?
So Bridget Berlin was Andy Warhol's best friend. She just died and she did these. And but yeah.
I mean, that's really cool. What do you always save on?
Clothes. I don't know what happened to all my designer clothes, you guys. I had everything. Like I don't have any bags. Like, and it's embarrassing because I just use like tote bags. And for a second, I was like, this is my feminism. I'm just going to use like gallery bags, you know, and I go out. I'm like, fuck this thing where women are expected to have like, but they look beautiful. Like Chanel bags. I used to have all that shit. I had a Chanel bag. I had every bag, Gucci and all of that. And now I have nothing. And it's.
Did you sell it?
I guess. I had like a mink Fendi baguette that like, I think I just gave it to my colorist. Like it's like, it's her tip one time. You know, I just give that stuff away because people gave it away to me. Like Jean would just give me everything. Or like Gucci would, you know how it was? Gucci would send the freaking clutch with the fragrance and you just had everything and none of it meant anything to me. And then I gave away
not a prevention magazine. We were not getting that stuff.
Guess what? It's not that anymore.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing.
I trashed a lot of them too.
You trashed them?
I mean, I was a drug addict. I thought you ruined them.
Oh,
I threw them in the corner. Like,
no, they were the club and you throw it down and it gets dirty, not like actually throw it in the trash. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you save on clothes and totes now. Got it.
Okay. What's your favorite book?
My favorite book. Oh, God. I have new favorite books. Have you guys read the Elena Ferrante novels?
I read The Lost Daughter after I saw the movie and I loved it. I also read it in like 6 hours because it's so short.
The four books started with my brilliant friend, the Elena Ferrante. I haven't loved books like that in a long time. So
I bought that and it's sitting completely uncracked. Okay. What song always makes you feel good?
I've been listening to like the same weird songs for so long. Like I have a few, but when I put my headphones in and start running, right now I've been putting on King of Wishful Thinking, you know, like I'll get over you, you know, I'll put that one on. I and then I love That's Salisbury all. Hill. Salisbury Hill is a good like addict song. And then for running, I do a lot of, you know, like Deeper and Deeper with Madonna. And
oh, I love that song.
A good one. Like,
that's so underrated. That one. I love that one.
I run to that.
The video is so good.
I run to like Icona Pop. And so I run to a ton of different stuff. But yeah.
I can't get over King of Wishful Thinking. That one threw me for a loop.
It's good. That's a recent one.
Oh my God. That really threw me for a loop. Okay. I love it. And then who? I know what I'm playing after we hang out.
So good.
Who would narrate the movie of your life?
The opening credits have King of Wishful Thinking, obviously. And you're pumping down the sidewalks with a bunch of bags, running to Jean's office. And whose voice comes on the screen?
Oh, the artist is Go West for anyone who needs more information.
I can picture this. I can picture it, Kat. Now I need the voice, though.
You know, Zoe Deutsch was supposed to do it, but that fell through. For that quote.
Oh, your audiobook, you mean?
She was signed up. Sony TriStar bought Murder, and then it didn't sell. But that was all the package. And then Chloe Grace and the rest of the town. I'm talking years ago.
Wow.
It was fine. But I guess my answer
would you have recast?
Maybe Ashley Benson. I don't know. All of these girls reached out to me at one point trying to do it. It was like a big thing. So we'll see. Oh, well. I guess I'll have to just...
That's so funny. I asked that question like, oh, what if? Not thinking, of course the rights to your book sold. And of course you actually probably had to think about that.
I worked on it for years, but I was doing it for money.
Well, is it like flatline? Is this like a whole, no pun intended? Like, is this like a... Or is this like, can you still...
Yeah, I'm getting the rights
back. Revive this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, okay. I'm very... You know, when you have a big book like I did, or it wasn't that big of a book, but it was a big enough moment, it's pretty natural. Like, you're taught that those things are going to come to you. And they did. A lot of people wanted it. Nina DeBrock. And it's like, you know, it's the typical thing. Like, celebrities are emailing you personally and trying to get your attention and this and that. And all these,
this
like, many
typical.
Different people. And you kind of pick, you know, I had producers showing up at my book party, like people from Hollywood trying to just, like, get in with me. And I was, you know, I think a lot of my shit has been, I just like wasn't healthy enough to work well at anything. And now it's different, but I'm just grateful for anything that I got, that I have received. I've worked really hard to prove that it's okay that I'd got them, you know, because I did just, I mean, a lot of that shit fell into my lap and I was not deserving. Like, I was not well and not responsible or grateful. It was a fucking brat in the press and all this stuff, you know? And it was like, once I cleaned up my act, I take my work stuff really seriously. So we'll see if that comes back, that would be amazing. But I'm not.
Do you feel like you know, that, and I'll let you go soon because I know we've been talking for a while, but like you said this, I did not say this. I don't feel that way, but like, you know, you were like, oh, I was a brat, blah, blah, blah. You know, that quote follows you around. And I didn't want to mention it because I just feel like it's like so done. But like that quote, they're like, oh, I quit. I didn't want my job. I'd rather be like snorting angel dust on top of a band. Smoking, sorry. I don't know. Do you smoke it and you snort it? But, but you know, do you feel like that kind of like, do you feel like that messed you up?
I liked that quote because it was...
evocative.
Yeah, it was like art. I really wrote that so sleepy. Like, they had emailed me and I just was spinning that and wrote it in 2 seconds, and it turned out to be a pretty cool thing for that moment, just in terms of like words. As a writer, I like it, but it's all I've done since then. Like, I show my work, you know, and like, life humbles you, God humbles you.
I feel like you're ready for a new chapter and people need to know it. And like, directors need to know it and actresses need to know it. And
yeah, and that stuff, that would be good. We'll see. If somebody wants it, I have the rights to it. I have some very high ranking agents at UTA. You never know what's gonna turn come around the corner.
Thank you so much, Kat. I'm so happy that we got to reconnect, and I'm really excited to see what's next for you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.